All I can do right now is put on a brave face and go out there and be their leader.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Welcome to our top stories this hour. And one of the stories is just absolute craziness. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top story.
So there are some people in politics who will always come on with me, even if they know that I'm going to disagree with them. Our superintendent of public instruction is one. I think Adam Smith, who came on last week, the congressman, he knows that I'm almost always going to disagree. But there are just some politicians who believe in their worldview, and they're willing to come on and debate it with me. Tim Iman, I've criticized him in the past when he comes on with me when he wants publicity for something, but often would not when there was bad news. But he came on today, even though the attorney general was talking about his $79 haircuts. And he knows that I'm going to, press him on that stuff. But there are some people who will always come on with me. And then there are even more Democrats who do not like having their ideas challenged because they know that they cannot work under the scrutiny of my withering cross-examination. Now, there are just some crazy leftist ideas where you have a bunch of Democrats who surround themselves with like-minded people, a bunch of bobbing head dolls, who just, oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, let's do that. And they can't defend their lunacy with people who disagree. And I'm starting to get a sense that State Senator Joe Wynn is like that. Because I saw he did a couple of media interviews about his crazy bill in the state legislature. But we asked him if he would come on to talk about it. And his people said, no, he's not available today, or how'd they phrase it, for the next few days?
For the next few days. He's got a busy schedule.
Yeah, he's just not available. He's done interviews with people who aren't going to push him that hard. But with somebody like me, he cannot, will not. He's too busy. Joe Wynn is a state senator who wants to create the 32-hour work week in Washington. And he says that'll benefit both businesses and employees. And Channel 4 did a story about this, ComoNews.com, and they talked to a businesswoman in Olympia who loves the 32-hour work week herself.
I know that we all love having our 3 days off in a row. and it does feel like we're more productive.
And look, if a private business owner wants to give a 32-hour work week to their employees, they're certainly free to do so. But to have government say this is how it has to be. So Joe Wynn, the state senator who won't talk to me about this, he says, well, I know this won't work for everybody.
It's about making sure that workers have more flexibility in their time and their schedule and enjoy life. This is going to work for every single sector and every single industry and every single person. But I think that it is an important concept to actually start discussing and figuring out.
So, like a typical Democrat, his argument is, well, it's to help people enjoy life. Who can be against the enjoyment of life? But this is no business of the government. The government should have absolutely zero role in this. And I suspect he knows that, but he has proposed this bill. It would say that people would work for 4 days, 8 hours a day, then have 3 days off. Anything more than that would have to be paid as overtime. So this is the government telling our companies. And again, what this means is that it would cost companies a fortune. It would mean, however everybody wants to try to sell this, it means less productivity. We already have a government trying to encourage people to be as lazy as possible, because the lazier an individual is, the more they need government's help just to get through life. And here's why he wants to make this change in our state. Joe Wynn also talked with our news desk at My Northwest. Just didn't have time to talk to me about this.
So acknowledging the fact that through automation and technology, the future of work is going to look a lot different than it does today. Washington State is one of the key states where we have a very good hold in terms of the technology companies that are here and whatnot. So, you know, this is a popular thing. If you talk to workers, this happens already in other countries. The Netherlands, they work at like 29 hours a week and earn the same wage as an average American today. And I get that this is not quite possible across the board in certain sectors. We've used some exemptions. But we've seen, you know, certain companies experiment, and even certain states in the United States, experiment with a reduced work week. And they've actually seen increased productivity. So you're able to create better lives for workers. Companies are still going to be very profitable. And everybody has a quality of life that they can enjoy and benefit from versus kind of the system that we have today.
Okay, this is a guy who's got absolutely no clue about economics, quite obviously. Because, as I said about Shama Sawant and her ridiculous head tax idea, we're not in a vacuum here in Washington State. And just because we have radicals in Olympia, if a business has to pay overtime starting at 33 hours of work, or they can move across the Oregon or Idaho border and they can not have to pay overtime until the 41st hour of work, of course we're going to see businesses leave the state in droves. And I have absolutely no idea how somebody like, and it said, I just looked up his Wikipedia. It says he got a bachelor's degree in finance and humanities at Seattle U and a minor in economics. Well, Seattle U didn't do a very good job of teaching real life economics then, because this guy's got absolutely no clue of what it takes to run a business, what it takes to be competitive, how our state has to compete with other states for businesses. And this is just more of the absolute madness that is dominating down in Olympia. I know a lot of people like to follow up on this stuff. This is Senate Bill 6516, okay? Senate Bill 6516. The sponsor is State Senator Joe Wynn, and he wants to mandate a 32-hour work week in our state, and companies would have to pay overtime at anything over 32 hours. So again, this is a step towards socialism. That's the ultimate goal. Let's destroy business. Let's destroy capitalism. Let's make it so that our local companies in our state are not competitive. And then let's take all these displaced workers and tell them, hey, the only way you're going to be able to get by is if you vote for us, the government, to take the achievers, their wealth, and give it to you. And socialists are the losers in society. And if you self-describe as a socialist, I'm sorry, but it's true. The achievers love competition. They love to go out and get what their worth is, what their actual value is. The socialists, they want assigned value by government in excess of what they're actually worth. They want other people's stuff without having to put the labor necessary for it. And socialists are the losers of society. And our legislature has become a loser legislature, I'm sorry to say. Okay, up next, I've got a random thing. I've got a really random thing. I heard about this young woman. I just like talking to high achievers. So up next in The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
I remember when I was a little kid, ABC had this competition called the Superstars. It was really cool. They took the top athletes from a bunch of different sports, baseball, football, basketball, track, and they matched them in all kinds of different competitions, sprints and swimming and all kinds of things. And I remember the guy who won it, I think the first couple of years, was a pole vaulter named Bob Segrin. I'd never heard of the guy. But I was about 9, 10 years old, and then I got to meet him when a buddy of mine took me to an indoor track meet because his dad had passes. And I was just always fascinated, even though I've never tried anything like that in my life. And then I just saw that we've got a pole vaulter at the University of Washington who just set the NCAA record for the highest leap. And I just said, I got to talk to this young woman. Her name is Olivia Grover. She joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Olivia, I appreciate you coming on with me today.
Thank you for having me.
Even though I don't do a sports talk show, I do news talk. But I'm fascinated by your achievements here. I just love talking to high achievers. So tell me about breaking this NCAA record. That's a pretty impressive feat.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think pole vault's one of the most interesting sports. I'm a little biased, but... breaking the collegiate record, I did that outdoors.
Yes.
So it was very, I didn't know it was going to happen. But you know, it jumping that high, it's so cool and it's so different and it's a different feeling than I've ever like felt before.
Yeah.
So you just want to keep striving to get that height again. So in past, indoor competition, I jumped 15.3. So getting back up to that height again, it's really, really cool, and it feels really good and makes me want to keep pushing for the next meet.
And your outdoor record is 15 and a half feet, right? 15.6.
Yes, 15.6.
Oh, my God, 15.6 and a quarter, to be precise, yeah. So tell me about, because this is going to sound really dumb, because I've covered sports a big chunk of my life, but tell me about when you first started and decided you want to be a pole vaulter, because just the whole concept of running with sprinter speed down a track, sticking that pole in the notch, and then launching yourself up into the sky, it is such a bizarre combination of physicality that why did you decide in the first place you wanted to do that?
You know, I did gymnastics for most of my life, and I got to a point where I just was growing too rapidly and my growth plates were open. So I kept breaking bones and all that stuff. So I decided to quit and stop doing that. And I got into, when I got into high school, I wanted to find another sport. So I tried volleyball, basketball, all the good stuff, and finally went to track. And I started with like long jump and high jump and just sprinting in general. And one of my friend's brother, he asked me if I wanted to try pole vault because I looked like I had the body type for it and I was fearless. I did gymnastics. So I went and tried it. And after I had one practice, I was like, oh, this is kind of cool and I'm kind of good at it. It's like a natural thing to me. So it was kind of an accident that I got into it, but it was a very good accident.
How do you even do it the first time? Because like I said, you're going top speed and then you have to transfer horizontal speed into into vertical height. And that's so counterintuitive. I mean, I know it's what high jumpers do and you got a big, huge pole in your hands. How do you even do it the first time?
I mean, it's definitely awkward, but you take it in steps, right? So you kind of learn how to hold the pole at first, and then you learn how to drop the pole, and then you learn how to run with the pole. So you kind of do it in these steps to where it progresses, and you just kind of get better and better at it each time and get more comfortable with it each time. So it kind of just, the way it progresses, it makes it easier for you to where you don't think about, oh, my goodness, I'm taking this pole and flinging myself over another pole.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
And it's 15 and a half feet. You know, I relate so much of my life to basketball. So we're talking about 1.5 times the height of a basketball hoop. And then you're just kind of floating down into the mat from there. But when you know that you've cleared that bar, do you have the immediate sound? Do you know as you're coming back down that you've just accomplished what you set out to?
Oh, my goodness, yes. I mean, sometimes you can watch back at your videos and other people's videos, and you're like, oh, they know that they cleared that bar. But when you're doing it, it kind of goes so fast, but you also have the time to look up at it, and you kind of just have a feeling, and then you just know. The feeling of knowing and looking at it, you kind of just go crazy after you realize that you've made it.
So what are the qualities? Just for everybody who's listening who doesn't pole vault but strives to achieve at the highest level, what are the qualities that you think have lifted you higher than any collegiate woman ever?
You know, I mean, I think anybody can be a pole vaulter. I mean, if you put in the hard work and you have the dedication to do it, you can do it. Me personally, I found that my height and my strength has and my speed have really helped me. But if you're fearless and you, you know, take a pole and try to jump over another pole and you don't think that's too crazy, I mean, I think that's the best quality you can have.
It's very cool. What's the world record for women?
Oh, goodness. Outdoors, like, I don't know it in feet, but in meters, it's like 5'3".
Okay.
And you're, 503?
And you're at 4.73 meters. Right now, are the Olympics in your future if you're the NCAA record setter?
That is the goal.
That's
the fantastic. Olympics at the end of this year.
Okay. All right. Well, look, I just wanted to meet you and learn a little bit about you and say congratulations, because I think it's very cool that that a Husky is setting NCAA records. And I respect the heck out of what you do.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me on your show. It was very nice.
Excellent. Okay, really nice talk with you, Olivia. Thanks for coming on with me.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Olivia, UW NCAA champion. And I got to tell you, I'm going to pull back the curtain a little bit here because, I don't do a sports show. B, not even the sports shows talk about something like pole vaulting. And so the conventional wisdom is, wait, you do a news talk show and you're going to talk to a UW kid about pole vaulting? Yeah. Yeah. I like talking to high achievers. I like talking to people who have something special inside of them that is so cool that they set an NCAA record. And I don't know. Let me know if you like stuff like that, because I guarantee you, if, you know, we tested this, or it's, no, we don't want to hear pole vaulting on a news talk show. But I just like talking to high achievers, and I saw a little clip with her, and she seemed like a cool young woman, and I thought, why not? Why not spotlight an NCAA record setter who goes to the UW? So thanks to Olivia for coming on with us. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. And that is your Big Lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Ursula's going to check the notes, and then we're going to count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio coming up next. Yes, indeed. It is that time of the day when we like to count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Day.
A few years ago, there was somebody who worked here at the radio station that I was very fond of, and this person had gotten an opportunity. They wanted to, you know, kind of break into hosting talk shows, and they got an opportunity to do a show one evening. And I was driving around. I was listening to it. And I called them into a studio, and I had pulled up the audio of the show. And I said, hey, you do one thing, because I like giving advice to the kids. And I said, you do one thing. When your co-host is talking, you're going, and just trying to give this positive affirmation. And I said, don't do that. That's annoying to a listener, and if people start fixating on that, they're not going to hear what either you or your co-host has to say. And I wish I could pull aside this guy who interviewed AOC at some live event last night, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. So what she says here is ridiculous. She says the Democrat Party is not liberal, but it's actually conservative. But it's hard to hear anything she says because the guy who's interviewing her on stage, every few seconds to show what a little fanboy he is, of her, listen to this. It is so annoying.
Number three.
We don't have a left party in the United States. The Democratic Party is not a left party. The Democratic Party is a center or center conservative party. We do not advocate for, we can't even get a floor vote on Medicare for All. Not even a floor vote that gets voted down. We can't even get a vote on it. So this is not a left party. There are left members inside the Democratic Party that are working to try to make that shift.
I mean, if somebody interviewing me was doing that, I would leap up and give them the Heimlich. And when she says something really interesting,
if people could only see your face at that moment.
Your face goes quite well with that.
That was tough for me to do. Okay, number two, this is just in. I haven't even heard this yet. Donald Trump, when he was speaking in Davos, Switzerland, he was railing against the climate predictors of doom.
Number two.
This is not a time for pessimism. This is a time for optimism. Fear and doubt is not a good thought process, because this is a time for tremendous hope and joy and optimism and action. But to embrace the possibilities of tomorrow, we must reject the perennial prophets of doom and their predictions of the apocalypse. These alarmists always demand the same thing: absolute power to dominate, transform, and control every aspect of our lives. We will never let radical socialists destroy our economy, wreck our country.
Amen. And at number one, this guy was out with his family, including their two-year-old son, when a coyote came and attacked them, bit the son. And then when the dad tried to put himself between his family and the coyote kept attacking. So dad did what dad had to do.
Number one.
Attacked my youngest son and got him by the back of his onesie, his snow pants, and brought him to the ground. And luckily we did not get him just the snow pants. And my wife was able to separate the two. And then in the process, we were able to get the children away from the coyote. And I was able to put myself between the coyote and the family. And from there, it was a series of attacks from a pretty aggressive coyote. And it got me in the arm, in the chest, and was able to then get it squarely in the jaw with my boot and was able to jump on it and then wrestle it to the ground. And it luckily did not bite anyone after that. I was able to expire it.
He kept using that. He didn't kill it. He was able to expire it.
We tried to de-escalate the situation by kicking it and trying to get it away from us and shooing it away. I did not work. It was very much the aggressor. So there was no interest in it going away. And so ultimately I had to make the decision to become the aggressor and continually jumped on it and attacked it and was able to get it to the ground. When I was able to get on top of it, I put my hand around its snout so it wasn't able to attack me anymore. And then from there, there was quite a bit of snow on the ground. So I shoved the face into the snow. And then eventually I was able to put my hand on its snout and expire it through suffocation. And then ultimately one hand on its windpipe and one hand on its snout did the trick. Although eventually we did have to wrestle a little bit because it wasn't dead 5 minutes after that, which was super surprising. And so after that, we were able to just sort of wrestle, move it to expiry.
You do what you got to do. And listen to this.
Never underestimate the power of survival, I suppose. That coyote was very much interested in living. But, you know, so were we.
He was interested in protecting his family. Those are our favorite sound bites of the day. Today's sign is next. And down the stretch we come. What a day. What a show. What a show. What a day. And we still have more to do as we present today's edition of
Today's Sign that the end is near.
Today's sign, the world is soon coming to an end. Dateline, America. Yesterday, we were talking about the Puget Sound area, King County Homelessness Conference, and they brought in a trans drag queen stripper to shake boobies at all the attendees. And they gave the most bogus reasoning in a Friday news dump as to how it happened, and they said it was a wardrobe malfunction is what exposed her chest, and it was just all ridiculous. But I had a listener who emailed me and said, why do you mention that it's a trans stripper? Why don't you just say stripper? Why do you sensationalize it by saying trans stripper? And I said, and if you're listening yesterday, I'm repeating myself, but I said, because that's at the very center of the story. They wouldn't go get a woman stripper from Deja Vu. They wouldn't get a male stripper from Chippendales, because everybody would just understand that that's ridiculous at a homelessness conference. But in the bizarre, twisted, sick mind of the radical left, they think if the stripper is trans, that that somehow is appropriate at a homelessness annual meeting. And why they think that is beyond me. But they do believe that that, because of all the identity politics, the virtue signaling that goes with it, that that somehow gives them cover, that it was a trans stripper. And the same thing is happening with the sexualization of our children. That if somebody sexualizes 10-year-old children, they are called pedophiles. But if the trans community does it, it's considered just good entertainment. RuPaul is probably the most famous drag queen. And RuPaul has a show where they're pretty blatantly sexualizing this 10-year-old child.
Girl, this is AJ. AJ, this is Magda, one of Pittsburgh's finest queens.
Which tells you a lot about the Pittsburgh scene.
Maybe don't tuck your junk in front of a minor.
There are no minors in Pennsylvania, no matter what the president promised.
This is, by the way, a scripted comedy, not a reality show. And, oh, the acting is just top-notch.
Ruby, girl, there are burgers at the bar. Are you hungry?
I am. Take me. Come on. Let's go.
Okay. Follow me. First kid I ever met who's a top.
Wow. Because the kid was somewhat assertive. They say that the 10-year-old child is a top, and I assume you all know what that means. Again, in any other setting, this would be just considered blatant pedophilia. But because it is in a show that's hosted by a drag queen, it's this radical, mentally ill left that says, well, calling a 10-year-old child a top is acceptable as long as it's a drag queen who's doing it. Now, it's not acceptable under any circumstance, but it just again shows how incredibly twisted we have become. When you can have strippers at homelessness conferences taking money away from people sleeping in the frozen ground under a tarp, you can sexualize 10-year-old children like that show does, and it's all considered good, clean fun. And somebody, look, I know that this has just become acceptable, but somebody has to still stand up for our kids. And nobody else in the media seems to. All right, today's signed story number two, a police union president down in Miami, Javier Ortiz. His entire life, Javier Ortiz has identified as a white Hispanic man. But at a city commission meeting a couple of days ago, he said, no, I'm now black.
As far as Captain Carr, she loves to call me a Latin male. I'm a black male. Yes, I am. And I am non-Hispanic. I was born in this country. That's how I feel.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
So you classify yourself today as a black male?
Yes.
When you applied for the police department, did you classify yourself as a black male or a white male at the time?
I think I put white male. I don't know if I know I put white male, but I don't know if I put Hispanic. No, I know. Listen, I know who I am, but it's also
Hispanic male.
I'm sorry?
You put down Hispanic male, didn't you?
Okay. As a man, I stand by it.
When did you have this, with God moment that you were black? When did God tell you
that? Well, I learned that there's people in my family that are mixed and that are black.
I see.
Let's not talk about the degree of blackness.
Oh, no, you're blacker than me. That's obvious. And if you know anything about the one drop rule, which started in the 20th century, which is what identifies and defines, how you doing, what a black male is or a Negro, you would know that if you have one drop of black in you, you are considered black. So you're probably black too, Joe.
Can we do a DNA?
Joe, you're probably black.
Okay, it's starting to sound like The View now. But, okay, so this guy who's been self-identified as white Hispanic his whole life has now decided that he is a black man. And again, it's just his changing opinion that is changing his race.
Nobody sent me here, nor did the city manager. I am my own man.
That's right, and you're your own black man, I know.
Yes, right. Yeah. So now I'm being attacked.
Yeah.
Half of my family's Jewish, probably didn't know that either.
Thank you, you're 5 minutes.
Thank you.
Inspired.
Mr. Ortiz claimed that he was a black. Now I hear Jewish black. I'm afraid maybe next month would be, you know, black Jewish woman. I don't know.
But you see, nothing is real anymore. Nothing is absolute. Everything is just dependent on our feeling. Gonna make a change on any given day. You can be a white Hispanic. You can be gay and Jewish the next day. You can be a black woman the day after that. Biology doesn't matter. Reality doesn't matter. Everybody can just change. Every day when they look in the mirror, whatever you see, go tell the world that that's what you are. And we will all accept it. Because it would be horrible and intolerant not to, for crying out loud. And all of that is today's sign. The end is near. I gotta get out of here. I've said everything I have to say for today. But I will go home, pick up a bunch of great stuff for Wednesday's show. Brock Huard will drop by for a visit tomorrow afternoon. I hope you enjoy the heck out of the rest of your Tuesday. And we will see you back here tomorrow. High noon. Head up.
I thought I'd cut out early. Make this a long weekend.
It's Tuesday.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.